This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, let's start talking money.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is time to talk money. I love this segment. It satisfies my inner wonk. And it is especially satisfying because I get to talk to folks like my fabulous next guest. His name is George Gala. He is an activist, community organizer, and founder of Addition, a national worker advocacy organization. He's had a career of over 3 decades, and he's worked on everything from federal financial reform to local battles for better trash can. My kind of guy takes all issues. His work has won billions for consumers in mortgage relief. He's helped reform housing programs and fought for community needs. I appreciate everything that you personally have been involved in, George. It is a proven track record of trying to make communities healthier and happier. So first, thank you, and thanks for making time. Tell us about Addition. What's its purpose? Here in Wisconsin. What are you doing here? Tell folks all about it.
Yeah, we founded, a bunch of organizers came together, founded kind of out of a belief we need a lot more people on the side of good, and that we grow through addition, not through subtraction. So like, you know, not dealing with anybody that doesn't think just like we do, or division. So we just want to bring in more people. And we think there are a lot of people that need the power of community organizing. That's just proven it works. Everything you just said on there that I was part of winning was because we did this thing called community organizing. So we bring it to lots of places. And one of the focuses is small towns in the Midwest, because we think a lot of small towns and rural areas get left out of the conversation, don't get the support they need. So that's one of our big projects. And that's what's brought me to Wisconsin.
I love that. And I have always believed in somebody that's worked at various levels of government and with community advocacy organizations, and have myself done a march or two, hit a phone bank or two, that really organizations like Addition and other community advocacy organizations, you're basically trying to get people the information that they need to make choices, and sort of translating it from sometimes what is very like wonky talk, right? And just getting it to people in digestible bites, and like, hey, does this matter to you? If so, here's an outlet for making your voice about this issue known. Am I oversimplifying it?
No.
I've always viewed it as a bridge, right?
I think it's totally a bridge. And I think the point around common sense language.
Yes.
You know, I think the nonprofit sector, sometimes the progressive sector, our political sectors make things way more complicated than they need to be. So let's just use common sense language and talk to everyday people. And in Wisconsin, I think we want an organizer on our team who grew up here, like went out and had 30 one-on-one conversations with folks in small towns and asked them, like, what are you most concerned about? And 9 out of 10 said aging in a rural community. And what that meant for people ranged from transportation, from this rash of nursing home closures in the state, to other things. But it started with listening, actually, versus like, we got the solution, you just don't understand it. It's like, we're just like, we know how to organize, we know how to change things. What do you think needs to get changed? So I've been doing this model of listening to find the issue that people want to work on the most for 30 years. I've never had 9 out of 10 people say the same issue. So we thought that was a big deal. But really, the kind of most front of mind for people was in a set of counties across the state, there was a push by conservative county boards to privatize county-owned nursing homes. So still today, 21 counties in Wisconsin own their own nursing home. It used to be a lot more. Many of them for 70 years, some for 120 years. And they are beloved institutions. Most of them are 5-star rated. The staff have super high morale. There's a family feel to it. If you go to them,
yes.
People, you're like, I would love for my mom to live here. I just spent like 3 months trying to find assisted living for my mom. I was like, well, I found the best. It's in these publicly owned nursing homes in Wisconsin. And I didn't know that in the beginning, but there's a push to privatize them. And it stirred up a hornet's nest, like small town seniors in St. Croix and Sauk County and Lincoln County and Portage County have like flooded into county board meetings. I've been at them where they actually have to create an overflow room because there's so many folks are showing up. People are marching in their local parades or driving their tractors in the local parades in support of their nursing home. And they're giving county board members hell every step of the way. And sometimes they're winning and sometimes they're losing. And we thought we should help them out.
It's an incredibly important question, and we know, and it's incredibly important from a whole number of access points, if you will, George. What immediately pops out to my mind is the funding crisis that's facing so many counties and local governments in the state of Wisconsin that was brought about by the Republican gerrymandered state legislature basically draining local governments of the funds that they need to provide the services that the state mandates them to provide. So you have this massive funding crunch in local governments as you've got an aging population, right? It often healthcare is difficult to access in some of your more rural counties. And we know on the other end of the equation, you've got private equity firms and hedge funds snapping up nursing homes.
This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation.
That's just about this because the demand is so enormous.
It's actually horrible. And you know, you made a great point there. I mean, this Wisconsin is an aging state.
Yes.
The number of Wisconsinites over the age of 85 is expected to double between now and 2040. And that is obviously a kind of prime consumer for either in-home care or assisted living centers. So, and this issue is so hot to your point around private equity.
This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by
Chair Lena Khan actually came to Sauk County a couple weeks ago to meet with the folks that are trying to save the Sauk County Healthcare Center, which is a nursing home. She actually didn't have like jurisdiction over the issue because it wasn't a big enough company trying to gobble this up, but she thought it was important enough that it was on 8 days notice. She gave us 8 days notice and she showed up, packed room, great media, and all kinds of people showed up for that. And you've got in the fight to protect these nursing homes from privatization, you got Democrats, independents, and Republicans working together. Like I've been in many meetings where Republicans are like, I did not vote for this. And so I think it's a very unique issue.
Well, and hopefully a mobilizing one. This is one of those things like local government and these kinds of what I'm going to call always value add to community wellness, like whatever the issue is, they're just not partisan issues. We all have aging relatives. We will age. It's not a question of if, but when. I've had economists on that talk about the care economy and the demands here. So important. I want to talk to you more about what you're doing in Wisconsin, specifically. So you've been in Sauk County. Tell us where your organization is. Where can people find out more if they want to connect?
Yep. Let's see. So we first got asked to come to Lincoln County, and which, you know, and Merrill is the biggest town. You know, it's a little, you know, not that much. You know, Merrill's about 20 minutes from Wausau. The big push to privatize there. I think the county board in many ways hell-bent on privatizing, and we saw small town seniors just showing up in big numbers. And it was so interesting because this amazing mobilizations and leadership from senior citizens was happening at a time that like we witnessed it happening at a time like the main conversation about older people was pretty negative.
Yes.
I mean, and I get it, and I'm glad Joe Biden stepped aside, but if you would turn on late night TV, it was just joke after joke. There were jokes about, you know, Trump or Biden getting inaugurated with Depends.
Yes.
And like, I get it, but I think there was collateral damage. So what I've experienced in Lincoln County is seniors 75, 80, 85, still organizing, still fighting. One senior, Al Curtis, came to a county board meeting and gave the county board hell. He lived in Pinecrest, the nursing home they were trying to privatize. And he died a couple weeks later. And that can sound sad, but to me, that's beautiful. He was like, in the fight until the end. And I think for any of us that feel like maybe I'm on the sidelines too much, it's like, think about Al Curtis. We need to be Al Curtis, like fighting till the end. So, but, you know, and so the other counties are St. Croix. St. Croix, people organized there. They succeeded in pushing back privatization. So they won a vote. So that has been tabled. So that is a victory. And then in Sauk County, it's a real battle. And the county board has voted to sell their beloved Sauk County Healthcare Center, been in the community for 120 years or something, you know, historically a five-star rated facility, to a company called Aria Healthcare with a dismal track record. Like 710 deficiencies across their 12 nursing homes that are in Wisconsin. I mean, it's almost, we're talking like tons of bed sores and ulcers, people not having enough food or water, getting, basically if you raise any kind of grievance, you get in trouble with the nursing home, and they're trying to sell it to them. We are hoping the Department of Health Services will actually try to stop that sale. And that is why the FTC came to Sauk County.
It's all of a whole, right? This is all part of this broader care economy discussion. But again, it reminds us that we all need people like Curtis. We all want to be a Curtis in our communities to stand up for what we need. My special guest for this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money is George Gale. He is an activist and community organizer. He's the founder of an addition, a national worker advocacy organization. Where can folks find out more about Addition specifically, George?
Yeah, they can go a couple of places. I think we might get a chance to talk about it, but we go to seeeachother.org. We launched a podcast about this work. We actually follow the folks in Lincoln County. It's a blow-by-blow, kind of a serial style, you know, whodunit kind of style podcast. Yeah, it actually turned out really well, and you get to really fall in love with some great people. So I would say go there, and then there are seniorvotersforcare.org would be two places to learn more about the work specific to Wisconsin.
Yeah, in the last chunk of the show today, I'm going to talk to one of my buddies in broadcasting. We're going to talk about the Eric Hovde, Tammy Baldwin debate that occurred on Friday. And you want to talk about respecting our elders. And here's a guy that apparently doesn't want to take much concern with his words when he's talking about people that are voting in nursing homes. Wow, it's yeah. And raising the age for Medicare and Social Security eligibility. I mean, unbelievable stuff. I don't want to tangent us too much here.
No.
But very broadly, and we're going to have to take care of some business on our side. When we come back with my special guest, George Gale, an activist, community organizer, and founder of Addition, a national worker advocacy organization, we're going to talk about why privatization should get a healthy bit of scrutiny when we're talking about these essential community services. On today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More with George when we return.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And as it is the 3 to 3:30 block, it is our daily segment called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My special guest today, his name is George Gale. He is an activist, community organizer, and founder of Addition, a national working class advocacy organization. He has worked on basically a whole huge gamut of issues that are important to most communities, focusing here in Wisconsin, organizing folks about the privatization of publicly owned nursing homes, which isn't something that we've got in southeastern Wisconsin or in Milwaukee County, but many of the rural counties do. What is so, I mean, other than getting a crappy vendor to run the nursing, right, like decline in service, rising costs, it's a company, you know, they're operating for profit. What about privatization is the thing that's concerning so many rural older people in Wisconsin? Yep. These days,
I mean, a couple of them you did just name, like there are more. Like, I think what people have experienced, and the data bears out, like that staff morale, new ownership comes in and looks to cut costs, right, and figure out how to make more profits. Staff morale goes down, good staff leave. And staff that come aren't attracted to the place because they come there and they see that it's a place in real trouble. And then the residents start to experience a drop in quality of care. And this is the leading experts on long-term care would say this. Even the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services say when publicly owned nursing homes are privatized, the quality of care goes down. So like, that's a big deal. Like, and I think, and then you add on top of that, that the minute they're not making enough profit, they shut down and leave town.
Yeah.
Like, and you're in a rural community, and suddenly I was in one meeting in one county, I can't even remember where some guy who was testifying before the county board started pounding on his fist. He's like, I don't want to live in Oshkosh. And it wasn't something against Oshkosh. Oshkosh was 90 minutes away. That was the nursing home he would need to go to because there wasn't anything else left. So I think that, and then you have families that have to drive an hour and a half to visit their family member. And that means the older person is more alone and there's less time spent together by family. But I would say then to add on top of that, if it's county owned, you have some leverage, some ability around the quality of care. You can go to the county board and say, hey, this thing is not living up to, you know, its mission. It's not providing the quality of care. Once it becomes private, sure, you can organize and try, but you don't have the same leverage as local residents and citizens. So all of those reasons, lower quality of care, you know, likelihood that they might shut down and leave, and the fact that you actually, it's really hard to hold them accountable. So I'd say those are the big ones.
Yeah, my family just went through this experience trying to find a placement for my elderly uncle, and he lived in Montana. They're just, the homes he went from was in and out of, I think, three different homes in fewer number of years because they were just closing. He couldn't keep them open. It was really a scary and challenging time. Your organization recently polled folks in Wisconsin about nursing home privatization. What did your polling tell you?
Yeah, we teamed up with the Hart Research Associates, a really kind of esteemed polling organization, and really around long-term care. When we polled 800 people, 55 and over, on long-term care issues. And, you know, both around the privatization issue, but more generally. But the most popular solution among people over 55 in Wisconsin to what people, I think, far and wide agreed was a long-term care crisis was mm-hmm. government support to attract and retain long-term care workers in smaller towns and rural communities, which I have to admit, I wasn't expecting that to be the thing. But I think the more you talk to folks, they're like, we just can't get workers to come here. And so we got to figure out, it's got to be really worth it. So I thought that, to me, that was very hopeful, but really interesting. So 93% of people supported that measure. It was the most popular solution that we pulled on, but 87% of Republicans and 93% of independents chose that as the solution. That stood out to me.
That is really interesting, especially in light of the debate back and forth between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin just this past Friday. We're going to listen to some of that sound in the last half hour of this show. But George, again, what is the name of the podcast and where can people find it?
Sure. It's called To See Each Other, and you can go to seeeachother.org, and that's like the website for the podcast, but it's everywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're somebody who likes to do things on YouTube, it's on YouTube, but it's called To See Each Other.
To See Each Other. My special guest this half hour for this edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money is George Gala, an activist, community organizer, I can speak, I promise, and founder of Addition, a national working class advocacy organization. When I think about the universality of this particular issue, right? And again, this is not an if for every single one of us, it's a but when, whether we need care ourselves or whether our parents will or somebody else that we care about. And I just wanted to share with you, speaking to the importance of this, we got a couple texters texting in. John from West Band saying, and helping to clarify my earlier statement, this is happening in southeastern Wisconsin. Washington County sold their public nursing home in the last year. The decision was made by that county board behind closed doors, which always makes one wonder. And Michaela from West Bend also texting in and saying the private homes also don't have the same requirements for accepting Medicare. Yeah, you end up with the Cadillac homes where you have to be able to private pay some incredibly huge amount of money, or it's not so great if somebody isn't independently wealthy, which is a shame. One little thing I wanted to share with folks about the county board meetings. Often public bodies, when they're actually in the negotiation phase of the contract, like the very specific pricing and things like that, that won't be done in public. But the finalization, that final deal document, all of that, that should all be publicly debated and discussed, and those documents available. We're going to put a piece with the polling in our show notes. Thank you so much. George, last thoughts. We got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
I mean, what your listeners just said is exactly right. I would say a lot of this is happening in every county right.
George said, the listeners are exactly right. He broke up just a little bit at the end. You got to get engaged. Everybody be a Curtis. Check out what's happening in your neck of the woods and where the candidates stand on this. Civic Media's got that info for you. We've got our voter's guide. Check it out, civicmedia.us/voter guide. I'm going to be back with my little bunny, Dom Salvia, up next.
To Maggie and the Millionaires Talk.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Am I brave enough? Am I strong enough to follow the desire that burns from within?
What's up, y'all? Happy Monday, everybody. My Mondays always get a little bit happier when I hit this last half hour, and I'm joined by my good friend in broadcasting, Dom Salvia. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Monday at 3:30, we do a little segment that we like to call In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia. Thanks so much for being here, Dom. Happy Monday, brother.
Hey, Maggie Dawn. Happy Monday to you. A pleasure to be with you in, what, just over 2 weeks to this next election. Can't wait, baby.
Oh, well, I'll get the exact election countdown clock. I do have one of them because why would I not have one of them? So we've got, let's see, 14 days, 9 hours, 24 minutes, and 26 seconds. Yes. It is coming. I'm going to be voting tomorrow. Are you an early voter?
You know, I have been, but I think I'm going to go. I haven't really prepared this time, so I'm just going to go and do the regular voting on the day and get the action. See the feel,
get
and
the vibe
smell
check.
And the vibe. Right.
Well, folks, early voting starts here in Wisconsin tomorrow. If you're looking for information about being a voter in November, you want to learn more about it, the logistics, what exact information you got to make sure that you include, all of that and so much more. Me and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, have got you covered tomorrow night. Civic Media's Making Your Vote Count 2024 special from 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. That'll be me and Dan.
Nice.
Yeah, check that out. In case, you know, you need a couple of tips, Dom. Maybe you should take a note.
I might have to tune into that, Maggie Dawn. We could all use a couple of tips from you and Dan, certainly.
Yeah, and it should be fun. And of course, Civic Media's got your voter guide that you can find at civicmedia.us/voter guide, because we've got every single state legislative race covered in that voter guide from both the Assembly and the House. We got new maps, everybody. So you're going to want to pay special attention to that. But Dom, in case you missed it, for all of our great listeners out there, I thought we could start with the Eric Hovde, Tammy Baldwin debate. My friend, did you get a chance to check it out?
I did some of the article reading and some of the highlighting. I was out of town. I went to Cincinnati this weekend, Maggie Dawn. They had
road tripping.
Blink Cincinnati. They had projection mapping. You know, they lit up half of downtown. They closed it down. There was art. There were vendors. It was just a whole lot of fun. So I didn't get to see it live, but I did see some of the reporting and I did hear some of the cuts. And let me just say, Tammy did not disappoint, and Hovde was everything I thought he would be.
Yeah, folks, I'm going to give you, I think I have what Hovde came off as, like, nailed. I think I distilled it down, and I want to get everybody's feedback to what my sort of breakdown of what is going on with this guy. He talks strangely. It's like both smug, but oddly ill-informed and devoid of details. It's a real trick to pull off smug and condescending while actually demonstrating very little substantive knowledge of issues.
But
Eric Hovde does it. Yes.
He pulls it off like a pro, Maggie.
Yeah. Very, very low information voter and candidate there in that, Mr. Hovde. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What did you all think? I think it was a drubbing by the senator. And did you hear this, Dom? He had committed to attend like a high school debate forum with Senator Baldwin today. Again, not an official, you know, WBA hosted debate, but right. It was going to be a forum. They were going to ask him questions, and he no-showed it. Like, he no-showed the high school forum today.
What?
Pathetic.
Come on, man. I guess he's just taking cues from his orange leader, who has been no-showing the NRA, 60 Minutes, backing out of all sorts of interviews these days.
Because he can't hold a thought, but apparently he can hold a thought if it's about his own private parts for a considerable amount of time.
Or someone others, yes, yes. Very,
oh,
very
my goodness.
Intriguing conversations, really enlightening the audience and really, you know, in the last couple of weeks of this election, really bringing it home, the importance of this election.
Yeah, a real elevated debate about deep thinking on difficult, nuanced policy issues or discussions about people's private parts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you, Donald Trump. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What did you think of the Tammy Baldwin-Eric Hovde debate? Dom, it looks like we've got Angie from Monroe on the line.
Angie, welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, and I like watching Tammy. She knows what she's talking about. These Republicans have no clue. It's just amazing to me. And I just wanted to mention, I have I just ordered a Handmaid's Tale outfit for the week until voting day, and I'm going to wear it around my town and just walk around with it. And I've also posted on my Facebook site that anybody needs a ride, especially if they live in the country that need to vote, I'm offering free rides around Monroe. So yeah, I just thought maybe other people might want to share that idea to offer some rides in their community.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Angie from Monroe, offering rides. You might be able to find Angie from Monroe on Facebook if you need a ride.
You'll see her walking around in the Handmaid's
Tale. In the Handmaid's Tale.
You know,
outfit.
Angie, make sure we get people out to vote, because you might be needing that costume. Maybe it becomes a uniform come next year. Just saying.
Your required work attire. Right. It's called being pregnant. That's your required work attire. Just ask old J.D. Vance. But Dom, this is the thing that kind of... He was so bad. Again, smug, condescending, aggressive, but weird aggressive. Kept talking about Tammy Baldwin's partner.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a mutual fund manager. Like, dude, why don't you address your own conflicts of interest instead of trying to invent them because her partner has a job? Like, it's just so, so hypocritical. Again, really nailed, Mr. Hovde did, the art of demonstrating very little knowledge of anything, yet being rude, insufferable, and condescending. All at the same time, what did you all think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Terry from Cross Plains saying this. Maggie, he had no idea what was in the farm bill. This is what I'm talking about, Terry. Right. Newsflash, Hovde, we're in the dairy state. We've got some farms here. We need an ad with the soundbite of him saying that. Well, Terry, thank you so much. Why don't we take a little listen to that ditty from Eric Hovde on Friday? Cal, this is going to be cut number 6, if you wouldn't mind, sir.
We're going to talk about farming, and let's go to Aditi.
Congress has failed to approve a new farm bill, which expired at the end of last month. This puts funding at risk for agricultural subsidies paid to Wisconsin farmers and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly known as food stamps. What will it take for each of you to vote on a new farm bill? Mr. Hovde, you have 60 seconds.
Well, I'm not an expert on the farm bill because I'm not in the U.S. Senate at this point in time, so I can't opine specifically on all aspects of that
farm
bill. But one of the problems I have with a lot of the farm bills is they're masquerading as farm bills, and while they address some of the needs of farmers, a lot of the bills are just funding big corporations that have nothing to do with farming. So I have a great concern about that. And I think farm bills need to get back for farmers. Let me tell you what I hear from farmers, because if you drive around the state, you see Hovde signs on literally almost every farm. And I've been on so many different farms. And what are they talking about? Regulations constantly. The kind of regulations that Senator Baldwin and her
Cal,
allies
you can wrap
to
this
push
up.
On them. One of the big ones that they're very...
So... First of all, doesn't he sound weirdly like Trump? Like, oh, there's Trump signs. I mean, Hovde signs on all the farms. I know lots of farmers. They all love me. Regulations. That was Hovde's like one line throughout the debate. He just kept talking about regulations. I got two things to say about that. Again, regulations protect regular people. They help keep our food chain safe, our drinking water safe, our air clean. We all deserve that. Should we be looking at regulations to make them more efficient and effective? Of course. But you're not answering the question, Eric. The question was about the farm bill, which is basically a major funding package. Like, that's what it is. You don't know anything about that, dude? I'd say, yeah, I'm with Terry from Cross Plains. That is disqualifying. We live in a farm state.
Well, and he's very concerned, which I find a little ironic, about what? Corporations. That's the big corporations. Hovde is the little guy speaking up, fighting back against the big corporations. And thank you for bringing up the regulation, sir. You know, this is a dairy state, and I lived out in the country for a while. One thing we certainly do not want is country beef gravy getting into our water supply, man. I don't think anybody wants that, and we're not going to have that unless we have regulation. And perhaps some of that regulation should be directed more towards those large farms. Yep, they different challenges than your small family farms. So certainly we could look at efficiencies in that regard. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that those things are regulated so we do have clean drinking water.
I had Chris Alfheim on the show on Friday. She's running for State Senate District 18. She had a much more nuanced answer. She talked about herself growing up on a farm and the need to support local family-owned farms, the need to provide farmers with the ability to try to manage their herds, but that we do have to address things like runoff and water pollution, yeah, while also addressing the needs of that farmers have for water, for irrigation. She went through a whole list of things, you know, an actual stinking answer instead of some random nonsense. Folks, my special guest host with me our on today's episode or segment of In Case You Missed It is, of course, Dom Salvia. We want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I think we've got Tom from Jackson up next. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. I listened to the debate on your network, and at least listening on the radio, I know that Tammy made a lot of good points, but I thought to listen to her voice over the air, she seemed tired, really kind of off the mark, where he seemed more alert and more sharp. And just, he sounded better. It was a disappointing thing to listen to. I mean, I think she made the better points in the end, especially afterwards when Todd and the other guy summarized what was said. It made more sense, but it was, I don't think she changed many minds or able to be changed, sadly.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us, Tom. Tammy Baldwin has never been what I would call a powerful speaker. That is not, it's sort of like Tony Evers, right? Like, right. Remember the Evers-Michaels debate? Like, Michaels is a CEO. He's got, frankly, the slickster-ishness of that. I kind of view the Hovde-Baldwin debate in the same way. It challenges us, I think, as citizens, as voters, to listen to what they're saying and less how they're saying
right.
it. Because again, I agree with you, Tom. Tammy never been a real strong orator. She's not a big charismatic, big talker. And Hovde's whole thing is bluster. Right. I mean, I have distilled down Hovde. I think I actually have my finger on his essence. I'm going to share that with all of you when we come back. What was your take on the overall just, again, feeling or styling of the debate, Dom?
Well, I agree to a point with Senator Baldwin. She's always been able to deliver. You know what I'm saying? Yes. She delivers for the state. She follows up and does what she says she's going to do. But I would say the same thing. She's never been a powerful speaker of the type that's going to entertain and enlighten and really get you going. That's just not Tammy Baldwin's style. And when you compare it to the former CEO, I mean, the guy's in his own commercials, you know, out west. So, yeah, we kind of have that. He's very Trumpy in that regard, as you mentioned. Maybe Trump light, not nearly as perhaps adled as Donald Trump, but certainly has that showman bluster that actually, frankly, for me, comes off as fake.
Yeah, he comes off very fake and very low information. I'll give you my distilled down essence of the man that is Eric Hovde when we come back. On In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia here on The Maggie Dawn Show, we'll take your calls and text 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
After all you put me through, you think I despise you. But in the end, I want to thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us, closing out this Monday episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. In this last block, every Monday, you can find In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia, because you can catch Dom after my show every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. He's worth a listen and a chuckle or two. Thanks for getting here early, doing a little extra work with me, little buddy.
Absolutely, Maggie Dawn. Always look forward to your helping me out tomorrow with overtime with Maggie Dawn. I love this. It's been a lot of fun, Maggie.
It is, and it makes the time fly by. So yeah. Do all your calls and texts, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Detroit, what do you got to say this afternoon, sir?
Hey, guys, I wanted to talk about the Farm Bill, too, in an odd kind of way. You were talking about runoff into the lakes. You know, I'm over here in Michigan, and there is no progressive talk radio over here, so I've got to use you guys. That doesn't bother me. But what I need over here, I'm a gardener, so the corn and the this and the that, that's cut down. I want the green compost that you guys have got over there. All the boxes that need to be disposed of, as long as they don't have white paint in them. I want the brown compost, and I certainly want the composted cow manure before it turns into runoff. And while we're talking about that, we both, Wisconsin and Michigan, we have a problem with these carp in the lakes. There's got to be an industry for that. If nothing else, turn it into fertilizer. The Indians used fish fertilizer forever. We must be able to do something to start working with that. I hope those issues are also in the Farm Bill, but I don't know enough about it. Again, I don't have that kind of access here in Detroit, Michigan. So,
well, and you're also not running for Congress, Andrew. You're off the
hook. Andrew, you're about as qualified as
Eric Humpty
is on the
perhaps
topic.
Perhaps more. So my folks put a compost bin in the in our backyard back in like the 80s, and all of our food waste, all that stuff would get turned into really rich topsoil. I couldn't agree with Andrew more. Folks, I will tell you, before the end of the hour is up, I have distilled Eric Hovde down to his essence. You're going to crack up. I think I've nailed exactly what he is. And I will share it with you before the hour is up. Mark from Prairie du Sac, I believe you are on the line, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, Eric Hovde, I thought I couldn't hate the man any more than I did. As nasty as he was to Tammy Baldwin, just coming out and just calling her a liar like that. But if I was Tammy Baldwin's brother, I'd be tempted, to do something I haven't done since I was 15 years old, is punch the guy in the nose. I mean, because he's just a jackass. He's just mean and nasty, and he knows nothing. I mean, if you pick up a copy of Pheasants Forever, they actually talk about the Farm Bill in there. Granted, it's talking about the agricultural benefits of set-asides for land, but the man knows nothing. He couldn't even wing it. I mean,
come on, are you surprised, Mark? This is a guy who rolled out his senatorial campaign video and didn't even mention the state of Wisconsin.
Oops. I think the Farm Bill moment is absolutely viral. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Mark. Always appreciate you. That was pretty viral. But there was also, and this, I didn't see this talked about in the media coverage, but that's why I like to listen to it myself before I read anything to see like what I cue in on and then do a little compare. This one did not get jumped all over because you actually have to listen to the intonation with which he speaks. He's asked a question about long-term care and long-term care insurance and do we have enough nursing homes for our aging folks? I just had a guest on during Maggie and the Millionaires. We were talking about this very issue because there's this huge wave of privatization that's happening in many of our rural counties. So Eric Hovde is asked about this. And I want you all to pay very close attention to the fact that when he gets to the end of the answer, you can tell that he's saying things that he doesn't himself believe because it actually sounds like sort of a question. And what I'm talking about are worker wages. And just he sounds like he's trying to convince himself of the point that he's making. It's fascinating. Calvin, let's give this one a rip. This is cut number two.
Oh, thank you. Look, it is a very serious problem. And look, I'm the youngest year of the baby boom generation, 60. The oldest year was born in 1946. And we're going to have a lot of people hitting retirement age. Look, the problem is we have a lot of people out of the workforce today. And we got to get more people back into the workforce. And that's an important part. A lot of nursing home owners, and I've known a few, are struggling with the massive amounts of regulations that they're also dealing with, which Senator Baldwin and politicians have continued to heap on them. So we have to take a private sector approach to try to drive more employment into that sector. And yes, that will cause a rise in wages, which would be good for those people, because being a nursing home worker is a difficult job.
Wow. you like the like, oh, and yeah, maybe some higher wages. That's good.
That'd be helpful for people in the industry and bringing more people into a particular market segment. Pay them more.
The man knows nothing. Here's who Eric Hovde is. He is a wannabe broke version of Tony Robbins.
Oh!
My gift to you. Folks, Dom Salvia is up next with the Dom Salvia Show. Thanks for listening to this Monday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
Makes me that much smarter.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.